Welcome to the Financial Wisdom Podcast Series. Take control of your financial future. Financial Wisdom Podcast, Fundamentals of Investing. In this session, we are going to review the fundamentals of investing. Investing is simply the process of acquiring assets that you hope will grow in value. Investments can include owning a home or other types of real estate, owning a business, or having money in savings accounts and CDs at a bank or credit union. This podcast addresses investing in stocks and bonds and various ways to own them. Here are some of the basics. Owning a share of stock is owning a portion of the company. If you buy 100 shares of General Electric stock, you actually own a portion of GE. You can receive an immediate return when the company pays a dividend. You can receive additional returns or profits if the value of the shares increases and you sell the shares. You can also lose money if the value of the shares goes down and you sell them. When you own a bond, you are lending money to the company or institution issuing the bond. You can receive an immediate return when you receive interest payments. You can receive additional returns or profits if the value of the bond increases while you own it and you then sell the bond. You can lose money if interest payments are not made, if the principal of the bond is not repaid when it is due, or if the value of the bond falls and you sell the bond. When you buy mutual funds, you are buying shares in a company that in turn owns stock in other companies or owns bonds issued by other companies or institutions. By investing in mutual funds, you get the professional services of the mutual fund manager who decides what underlying securities to buy and sell. You receive an immediate return when the mutual fund distributes dividends, interest, or capital gains. You receive additional returns if the value of your mutual fund shares increases due to underlying values of the securities it owns, and you sell the mutual fund shares. There are several ways you can own investments. Most people start out with individual accounts set up at brokerage firms or mutual fund companies, in their IRAs, and through their company retirement plan. If you invest through an individual account, the income, that is, dividends, interest, and mutual fund distributions from the account, is taxable in the year you receive them. You can also have capital gains or losses when you sell the securities. If the investments are within an IRA or a qualified plan, you will probably not owe any tax until you take the funds out. Now let's cover some common sense rules. Understand that there are risks with investing. When you make the decision to invest, you are leaving the world of insured and guaranteed returns found with savings accounts and CDs. The values of stocks rise and fall depending on the success of the company and the overall direction of the stock market. The value of bonds can rise and fall depending on changes in interest rates and the financial condition of the institution issuing the bonds. In return for taking these risks, you hope to earn returns greater than what you would have earned in a guaranteed savings account or with a CD. Be realistic in your expectations. Over most long periods of time, say 20 to 30 years, the average total return for large company stocks comparable to the S&P 500 index, has averaged around 9%. However, the returns for any single year can be very volatile. 2008 was a very bad year for the stock market, with the S&P 500 losing 37%, while 2013 was a very good year, with the S&P 500 having a return of over 32%. Over long periods of time, investments in quality stocks have provided returns higher than other types of investments. But, as seen in 2008, the stock market can and does go down. Trying to guess the near-term direction of the market or an individual stock's price is foolish. Use an asset allocation strategy to divide your funds into stocks, bonds, and cash investments. This diversification helps reduce the overall risk of your portfolio. Generally speaking, you should base your allocation on your time horizon and your risk tolerance. The longer your horizon, the greater portion of your total portfolio you should consider for stocks. As you get closer to retirement, or if you want less risk, the greater portion you should consider allocating to bonds and cash. This is a logical approach. While you are younger, you can take a longer-term view. You have more time to recover from declines in your investments, and you have more time to try to participate in the long-term performance trends of different types of investments. You should diversify your investments. If you are investing in stocks, you should try to have investments in at least 3 or 4 stocks in at least 4 or 5 industries. A portfolio of 15 technology stocks is not diversified. A portfolio of 1 stock in each of 15 different industries probably also is not a good example of diversification. A portfolio of more than 25 or 30 stocks can make it difficult to stay aware of what each company is doing. Spreading ownership over different stocks in different industries reduces the risk that the particular stock you choose in a good industry turns out to be the wrong one. It also reduces the risk that you invested in the wrong industry. Consider the diversification benefits of mutual funds. When you buy mutual fund shares, you are buying into a broad portfolio of stocks that the portfolio manager has selected. In addition, most mutual funds offer a system of buying called dollar cost averaging. With this, you buy an equal dollar amount of shares on a periodic basis. Spreading the buying of investments over time can also be a good idea. That way, you assure yourself that you are not investing all your money at the top of a bull market cycle. You may miss some appreciation if the market continually goes up, but that seldom happens. The other risk you can reduce by spreading out your investments is price volatility. By spreading out your buying, the average price for the stocks you buy will probably reflect the average market values for that period. Remember, no one can predict short-term movements in the stock market with any degree of accuracy. Join us again for another Financial Wisdom podcast. And as always, thanks for listening.